Hello and welcome to Press TV's live interview with Syria's UN Ambassador Bashar al-Jaafar, who joins us live from the UN in this special and exclusive interview. Well, Bashar al-Jaafar, welcome to Press TV's interview with you. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us. The theme for this interview are new appointments. Let me first get your reaction on this Western-backed opposition who has gone a new leader, the so-called Syrian National Coalition. I'm sure you heard by now. Has named Hadi al-Bahra as the new president. What do you think?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad and thrilled to be on air with Press TV. Actually, politically speaking, the Syrian government has encouraged all national political forces to engage in what we call the national reconciliation process, which produced very important results so far in terms of reconciling the political forces, antagonist political forces in some hot spots in Syria. So any national political force which is ready to engage with the Syrian government as well as with the fabrics of the Syrian society, I mean the notables and the dignitaries of the of some areas, are welcomed.
Well, when we take a look at the SNC as a whole, and they have had such replacements happening in the past, and one of the, I guess, common traits seems to be, which we see also on the ground, is the fact that there's been such a political infighting. Doesn't that show a lack of credibility when it comes to them being recognized as a whole, given the fact that their history is now marring their present status?
No, I'm not focusing or concentrating on any political force specifically, regardless of your introductory remarks with regard to what happened in Istanbul. I'm addressing the whole issue in terms of its generality, making maybe a focus on this process, very successful process of national reconciliation process. While meeting in Istanbul or in Doha or in Paris or London or wherever you want, these forces are distancing themselves from the Syrian people as well as from the Syrian political forces, active Syrian political forces on the ground. So I'm not talking about the what we call the Syrian opposition abroad. I'm speaking and talking about the national political forces which are ready to engage with the government in what we call the national reconciliation process.
And that is obviously well commended, especially given the fact that Bashar al-Jaafar, we saw the overwhelming response based on the most recent elections that saw the appointment of President Bashar al-Assad, and that was very significant, especially one scene which is unforgettable for many, and those were the Syrians over in Lebanon in Beirut. There was, I think, a line around the block and miles, some have said, for them to vote for. But what I'm trying to understand here is how the push, internationally speaking, do you think they are still pushing against the Syrian government? For example, there's been another appointment, as I mentioned, the appointments are the theme. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has named, or is going to name, the Swedish diplomat Stefan de Mistura as a Syria talks mediator. Do you think there's a disconnect from the international community when it comes to officially recognizing the elections there in Syria?
Of course, there is a huge interest in inside the United Nations with regard to the Syrian crisis, as well as with regard to the Iraqi crisis. So yes, there is a kind of awakening, if you want, amongst some circles, inner circles in the UN Secretariat. But that doesn't apply to all the capitals, the big capitals, I mean, because so far there hasn't been any clear crystal cut changing in the diplomacy of some countries, namely speaking USA, Britain, and France, and others. So yes, there is some new approaches in the inner circles in the Secretariat of the United Nations, but that has not transpired so far, concretely speaking, in terms of actions or initiatives or changing of policy in the deliberations, whether at the level of the Security Council or outside the Security Council.
Need to get your thoughts on this ISIL, Bashar al-Jafari. I mean, these ISIL Takfiri terrorists, obviously, were fighting in Syria, and we've seen what has happening in Iraq. If we were to make a comparison, some would like to know, is it because the Syrian army is much stronger in the way that they dealt with the ISIL in Syria? Because what has happened in Iraq is, they've made much more advances. Where at the same time, over in Syria, the Syrian army have been able to make lots of progress on the ground.
Well, first of all, Syria as well as Iraq, we are fighting the same kind of terrorists in both countries, as you know. We have repeated ad nauseum for years that we were fighting terrorists in Syria, and we have provided evidences to the Secretary General of the United Nations as well as to the members of the Security Council. However, in spite of all these endeavors by the Syrian government, what is commonly called the international community was unable to produce any concrete actions with regard to helping the Syrian government in fighting these terrorist organizations. More importantly, some capitals used to cover up these terrorists by calling them militants or insurgents or fighters or whatever, you name it. So it was somehow desperate to think that these capitals, which are mainly speaking sponsoring these terrorist organizations operating in Syria and Iraq, would change their policy. So after 3 years of war in Syria against terrorist organizations, what we warned against it from the beginning has happened, which is the removing of the terrorist activities from Syria into Iraq, into Lebanon, into Egypt, into Libya itself. I'm sure you have heard what General Haftar, the strongman, the new strongman in Libya, has said. He said yesterday that the Qataris and the government of Erdogan's forces in Libya should leave within 24 hours. So even Libya, which was manipulated, hugely speaking, terrifyingly by the Qataris and the Saudis and the Turks, are now warning, threatening and warning these governments of the necessity to leave Libyan territory within 24 hours. So now everybody know what is going on, what is happening in this area of the world. It's not about what they used to say, an Arab Spring or Arab Winter or Arab Autumn, you name it. It's about creative chaos invented and set up by American strategists 10 years ago. So Iraq now is facing the same kind of terrorist, and I'm really thrilled that you posed this question about the comparison between what happened in Syria and what happened in Iraq. Because mainly speaking, the alarming news coming from Iraq, which indicate that the terrorists of ISIS put their hands on chemical materials in one of the storage neglected by the UN UNSCOM Committee of Investigation, which was constituted 10 years ago or 15 years ago. These news are very alarming because the same chemicals we are referring to in Al-Muthanna project facility is the same material that the terrorists used in their attacks against civilians in Syria in August last year in the outskirts of Damascus, but before that in Khan al-Asal in Aleppo. So we are here facing the same kind of phenomenon undertaken and conducted by the same kind of terrorist organizations, sponsored by the same guys we were speaking about them from the beginning. It's a big plan. I hope And I really hope that all these very alarming developments are not what we call a mountain laboring produced a mouse. So we need to awaken ourselves. We need to draw the kind of attention of the public opinion, international public opinion, about what's going on in the area. It's about a war against terrorism.
And my final question to you is, you know, from the outsider looking in, even from people who are familiar with the politics in the region, it is said that the ISIL is the enemy of all countries that are involved in the region. And perhaps it's very confusing then when you talk about some of the countries regionally who are involved in creating some of the havoc that they have, that they're saying the ISIL is the enemy, which makes them the common enemy. But then it doesn't make sense about how you are saying that they're these actors, and you mentioned some countries like Saudi Arabia, like Qatar, who are still creating this havoc. Is there going to be a point where the common interest being ISIL as the enemy going to converge these countries to fight them, or are we still looking at countries regionally who may be somehow indirectly or directly perhaps you can tell us, supporting the ISIL?
Well, I think that our public opinion, as well as our politicians and diplomats, should be aware of the fact that the ultimate goal of those who have concocted this anarchy and messy situation all over the area would be a war among Muslims and Muslims. They call it in the West a Sunni-Shia war. But actually, it's a war against all of us. It's against Sunnis and against Shias. It's against Iran, but also against the Arabs. And we are all deemed to be used as a fuel in this nonsense and a stupid war, which has an ultimate goal, which is to deviate the attention from what the Israelis are doing against the Palestinians. They want to kill the Arab-Israeli conflict by opening up a new conflict based on ethnicities, divergences, religious, sectarians, confessionals. And the best product for them, after having studied the history of the area, would be ultimately this stupid war between Muslims and Muslims. And let them call it between Sunni and Shia. This is why the mainstream media in the West is still using the term of militants, insurgents, Sunni jihadists, etc., etc., to talk about and describe ISIS in both Iraq and Syria. Till now, and in spite of all the atrocities ISIS has done in Syria,